So here we find ourselves already thinking about Seder night, already thinking about the experience of Sifrei Yetzias Mitzrayim coming together. We all have very different Pesach experiences. And everybody grows up with a different type of Pesach experience. I grew up, I don't know if we've discussed this once before, but my family owns one of these Pesach hotel companies. And so I grew up going to hotels for Pesach. It wasn't until I was the rabbi of a shul that I ever had a Pesach in a home in my life. And people would call me with all these shilas, and I really had no idea what they were talking about. Because I'd never seen like a covered counter in my whole life. But for me, Pesach was getting together with lots of people. And I used to have sedarim that were like in a huge room, much bigger than this room. This is in Arizona. In a huge room, and there would be a hundred, basically there were three options. And these options reflected how much money you have. Option number one was some people got their own private room for the Seder. That was like Steven Spielberg and his family. They got their own private room for the Seder. Then there was the second option, which was the communal Seder, where the rabbi led the Seder for everyone with the cantor. And you go through that, and that makes you want to kill yourself. Then the third, I'm sorry, my father was the cantor, but he was very good. He was excellent at it. He was excellent. Is Peggy Safran still teach here? She doesn't teach Seder anymore. You know who that is? Okay. Anyway, so there was that was the second type of Seder. The third type of Seder was what was called semi-private. This is where you have enough money to go away for Pesach, but you don't own a private plane. And in this room was a massive amount of individual Seder. So everybody gets to have their own Seder. But it's like your cafeteria. Everybody's at a table in a larger room. So that's where I spent most of my sedarim growing up. And so I accumulated all these customs from all these other seders because I used to see lots of other people that have seders. And you know how people get very, very into the seders. It's like there's always one guy who like, you know, is very into the makos. You know, he'll like bring actual blood and throw it on the table and like release a plague of anthrax and see what happens and like decorate himself with boils and, you know, throw water on for Kriyas Yam. So there's always one guy who's like totally over the, you know, then there's always like the singing family with everything they sing the steps of the Seder, each step of the Seder, they sing the steps of the Seder, again the steps of the Seder, literally like back and forth and back and forth. Then you have like the Afikoman negotiating ones. These are like the people who run the hedge funds, you know, where the kids are like, I'll give you the matzah back if I can have 86 shares in Facebook and 42 shares. That's what goes on at the Pesach Hotel. You know, and then you go into the dinner, which is basically like a petting zoo on a buffet. You have goose and you have duck and you have chickens and you have others. You literally can play duck, duck, goose with actual edible animals. It's really an amazing thing. So they usually give me a piece of chicken. I usually name it Dougie. And then I try to just kind of focus myself on the Seder. So everybody has a different type of Seder. But what really is the goal of Seder night? What are we really trying to accomplish on Seder night as we sit there together? So turn to source number one. The Torah tells us in the aftermath of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the aftermath, before Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Torah tells us that we have to remember what happened. Yetzias Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt, was one of the most extraordinary moments of Jewish history. And it's a moment that has to be immortalized in the consciousness of Am Yisrael forever. Because we don't just believe in a God that created the world, that's one madrega, to recognize that not all of this can come randomly, right? That statistically the possibility of there just being a big bang and resulting in Stern College is very, very narrow, right? That can't happen. That's infinitesimal. That really there's a God that created the world. But we don't just believe that there's a God that created the world. We believe there's a God that created the world that is intimately involved in guiding that world. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just a borei, he's also a mashkiach, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides the world in divine providence, directs the trajectory of Jewish history, and is intimately involved in our lives. Within that guidance, there is an elasticity that allows for our gift of Bechira. We can make choices to engage this momentum, or to separate ourselves from it. We can choose to embrace God's propulsion of the world and of Jewish history and be a part of it and join it and help it and impact it. Or we can choose to walk away from it. But what's happening in the world is something that's directed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, something that's directed by God. And so therefore, when I was just at the AIPAC conference, a couple of days, anybody here was at the AIPAC? There were a lot of YU people at the AIPAC conference. The APAC conference is a conference of 18,000 people, and all they're saying all day is how we are saving the state of Israel, and everything we're doing is saving the state of Israel, and everything we're doing is saving the state of Israel. What's important to remember is ultimately we believe that there's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's really running the unfolding narrative of Jewish history. And Yetzias Mitzrayim, this is why Yetzias Mitzrayim is embedded within so much of our tradition and so much of our ritual, and so many of our mitzvahs. Because we have to live our lives, when we say live our lives, Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim, we don't just mean that we're constantly doing things to remember a historical event. We mean that that historical event is internalized in our memory, it's embedded in our consciousness, to the degree to which we interpret the world around us through the prism of the ideals of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Meaning everything's Yetzias Mitzrayim. Not that everything is leaving Egypt, but everything we encounter in the course of our lives and in the course of our people's history are events that unfold as a result of the guidance and providence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Seder night is the night of Emunah. It's a night where we internalize this notion, and the way in which we internalize this notion is by telling the story, is by relating the story of Sifrei Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Torah tells us in Sefer Shemos, in source number one, the Torah tells us we have to remember leaving Mitzrayim, and the Torah says it twice. And each one has a different formulation. The first one, if you look at Pasuk Gimel, is Vayomer Moshe El Ha'am, Zohar Es Hayom Hazeh. You should remember this day, Asher Yatzasam in Mitzrayim, Yibes Abadim, the day you went out of Mitzrayim, from your house of servitude, Ki Bechozik Yad Otzi Hashem Eschem Izeh. Because Hashem took you out with the greatness of hand, in his interventional divine capacity, the lo yachel chametz, you can't eat chametz. And then the Torah tells us later on in Pasuk Ches, again, v'higadata levincha b'yom ahu leimor, you should tell your children on that day, saying, ba'avur zeh, because of this, asa Hashem li b'tzeisi mi Mitzrayim, Hashem did miracles for me when I came out of Mitzrayim. Two different psukim, two different types of stories. Some of the Rishonim quote the first pasuk as the source of Sifrei Yetzias Mitzrayim, and some quote the second. The Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Matzah writes in source number two, Mitzvah Aseh Shel Torah Lesaper Menisim V'Niflos. How do I know that the Mitzvah Aseh of the Torah is to tell the story of the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Shenasu Lavoseinu B'Mitzrayim B'Leil Chamisha Asar B'Nisan. This is talking about Pesach night. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Zokor es hayom hazeh. Remember this day, Asher Yatzasam in Mitzrayim. The Sefer HaChinuch quotes the second pasuk. Sefer HaChinuch says, the mitzvah of Sifrei Yetzias Mitzrayim on Seder night is a kiyum not of the pasuk of Zokor es hayom hazeh, but is a kiyum of the pasuk of V'higadata Livincha. The Rambam quotes both psukim, but the Rambam in his initial source for Seder night quotes the first one. So I want to share with you, we're not going to go through all these Makoros inside, but I share them with you so that you can enjoy them on your own, but we'll get through a lot of it. The Ram, I want to share with you four questions, since we're coming up on Pesach, right? Four questions, the Manishtana, right? You always put the youngest kid up to sing the Manishtana. Four questions. Question number one is about the Rambam's citation of this pasuk. It's a little strange because that pasuk of Zachar es Hayom Hazeh has nothing to do with Seder night. It is simply a commandment to remember leaving Mitzrayim. And yet the Rambam seems to quote that as the source of the Seder night special mitzvah of Sifrei Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have a mitzvah to remember the Exodus from Egypt each and every day, as we just explained, because it is a core element of our emunah, that when we live each day, every single day, as we live our lives, we remember that God is not just the God of creation, that God is the God of history. So that's a commandment each and every day. So says the Rambam, that commandment, that source, that pasuk, is the source of Sifrei Yetzias Mitzrayim on Pesach night. So question number one is, why doesn't the Rambam quote the more appropriate pasuk? The more appropriate pasuk is, V'higadata Levincha B'yom Ahu Leimor. You should tell your children on this day, on Pesach itself. Why is the Rambam quoting the pasuk that refers to the mitzvah to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim every day? as the unique source for our special mitzvah of Seder night. That's question number one. Question number two is that when you look at the Rambam has actually already used this pasuk in his citation of the other mitzvah. And that is, if you look at source number seven, that even though there's no mitzvah to wear tzitzis at night, we read the parsha of tzitzis at night in Kriya Shema, Mipnei sheyesh ba zichron yitzias Mitzrayim. And there's a mitzvah to remember yitzias Mitzrayim. How do I know? Leman tizkors yom tzeischom eretz Mitzrayim kol yimei chayecha. That's the pasuk for remembering Mitzrayim, so it's already used. Number three, and this is one of the most really strange questions, and that is that if you look at the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvos, we know the Rambam wrote many works. One is the Mishneh Torah. That's the one we cited from before. He also has a list of all 613 mitzvahs. And in that list, the Rambam includes the mitzvah to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim on Seder night. And when he formulates that mitzvah in source number 8, shockingly, what does he say? He quotes the pasuk, not the pasuk that he quoted in Mishneh Torah, but rather he writes, in the very last line, the first line is, Shetzibanu l'sakra b'tzias Mitzrayim, you have to tell the story of b'tzias Mitzrayim, and you have to go through all the details, b'chol amar b'harim is a shubach. But then the Rambam says at the very end, Hu amru, v'higadata l'vincha b'yom aho, that the Torah tells us to relate this to our next generation. So the Rambam seems to be doing two things. Number one, when he goes to the Sefer HaMitzvos, he now uses the pasuk that's more appropriate for Pesach itself. And number two, the Rambam actually nowhere in the Sefer HaMitzvos records the mitzvah of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim each and every day. It actually does not appear in the Sefer HaMitzvos. And the final question has to do with when the Rambam says that our mitzvah to go ahead and tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim on Seder night, that it's unique. So the Rambam says, what mitzvah do you look towards for the paradigm of what it means to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim? The Rambam says you look towards the mitzvah of Shabbos. Because Shabbos says, Zochor es yom haShabbos l'kach. And the question is, what does that have to do? What does Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim have to do with Shabbos? So let's just remember our four questions. Question number one is, why does the Rambam in Mishneh Torah not quote the pasuk about Pesach? And instead he quotes the pasuk about the daily mitzvah to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's question number one. Question number two, that the Rambam already used that pasuk that he's quoting for this special Seder night to refer to this other mitzvah of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. So how is it even available for interpretation for something that's so extraordinarily different? Question number three is, why is it in the Sefer HaMitzvos the Rambam omits altogether the daily mitzvah of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim? And question number four is, what's this relationship between Shabbos and between Yetzias Mitzrayim? So I want to share with you the following. Turn to source number 12. There are three approaches that we're going to take now to understand the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on Seder night. When you come to sit down, this is one of the most fundamental aspects of Pesach that we're all obligated to. And that is that we come to the table, we experience a Seder, and we tell this story. And somehow, by telling this story, by recalling these events, by making mention of these miracles, by reviewing all these interpretations, by engaging in all of these rituals that express the various ideals that comprise the larger world of Yetzias Mitzrayim, somehow we fulfill this greater mitzvah of essentially internalizing and eternalizing the entire legacy of Yetzias Mitzrayim. What does it mean that we have a mitzvah to do this every single day, and yet we have a special mitzvah to do this on Seder night? What is the relationship between those two mitzvahs? After all, I sit down on Pesach night, the home is clean, I've already done all of my pre-Pesach, koshering, right? I blowtorch the oven, and I self-clean the braces, and I did all the cleaned out the fridge and I vacuumed the couches and I bribed all the kids and everybody's, you know, doing their thing. And I sold the chametz to the rabbi and he sold the chametz to the non-Jew. You know, I once had I have a little group that we sell the chametz to for our shul and for actually a few other shuls. So one year, the guy who came to buy the chametz, his name is Carlos, really nice guy. He shows up, it's like Erev Pesach, and Carlos is sick as a dog. He mamish, he has the flu. So I look at him, and now part of selling the chametz is you have to do a number of different kinyan. You do a number of different actions that transfer the ownership of the chametz that everybody has given you on their behalf to Carlos. One of the kinyanim you do is called the kinyan of Tkiyas Kaf. Tkiyas Kaf means you have to shake hands. Shake hands like a deal. So you shake hands with each other, and that's one of the kinyanim. You also give him silver, you also give him money, you also give him karka, you give him land, you also do a kinyan agav. There are many different kinyanim that you do, because we want to cover all the opinions to make sure that nobody, according to anybody, owns any chametz whatsoever. So you have lots of different kinyanim. One of the kinyanim is you have to shake hands. So I look at this guy, he's sitting there in front of me, and he's got flu coming out of every orifice of his body. You know, like he's like drooping flu and oozing flu. And I'm looking at him, and I'm looking at all the other rabbis, and I'm thinking to myself, it's Erev Pesach. There is no way in Mitzrayim that I am shaking this man's hand, right? If I have to own all the chametz myself, there is no way I am shaking this man's hand. So I said to all the other rabbanim, I said, listen, I said, you know, the whole point of Tkiyas Kaf is that that's the traditional way that you make a deal in the business world. Would we all agree that in Carlos's world, a gesture of connection between two people is also achieved through a fist pump like this? Everyone said, yeah, sounds good, sounds good. So I said to Carlos, okay, with this fist pump, I transfer to you all of the chametz in my house and all of the homes, and in Passaic, New Jersey, this became the first mechiras chametz done through a fist pump. And everyone was chayev kares. No, everyone was yotzei the mitzvah and everything was wonderful. So we've done everything that we have to do. And now we sit down on Seder night, and we know there are certain things that are unique to Seder night. Matzah, Moror, Korech, these are not things we do during the year, right? We don't eat matzah generally during the year. We used to not eat Moror during the year, but now romaine lettuce is considered a delicacy, so we're always eating romaine lettuce. But we eat it Seder night without the strawberries and the sugar dressings and all the other accoutrements that we generally dress that romaine lettuce with. All these different mitzvahs that we do, Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, we sit down to tell the story. In what way is that mitzvah different than the generic mitzvah that we have each and every night to tell this story? So there are three approaches to this. Approach number one is that the primary mitzvah of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim occurs Seder night. And this is articulated by the Einayim Lemishpat. He writes that the main mitzvah of the year is Seder night. Seder night is when you reenact and you relive and you entirely internalize the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That is the primary moment of remembering the Exodus from Egypt. The daily mitzvah is simply an echo of that primary act. The daily mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is meant to edify within your consciousness the created presence of the experience of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the purpose of the daily mitzvah. Why do we remember Yetzias Mitzrayim every single day? So we can sort of just allow ourselves to remind ourselves. It's chazara, it's review. But it's not the initial burst of information. The real, real memory is crystallized on Seder night. And that's why Seder night is so unique. And that's why perhaps there's some interchangeability between the psukim. Because the experience on Seder night, while it's an experience of the Yigadat HaLevincha, it is actually the catalyst for the Zohar Esayom HaZeh. The experience on Seder night is what creates, is what shapes the memory that throughout the year will be nurtured and cultivated and pulled to our experience through the daily mitzvah to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. In fact, the Mikrei Kodesh, in source number 14, says something amazing. for those who are into Lomdus a little bit. He says the following, that if somebody becomes bar or bat mitzvah in the middle of a year, and they were not a gadol on Seder night, that their obligation through the remainder of that year is non-existent in terms of the daily mitzvah of Sifrei Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because the whole source of the Zechira is on that Seder night. And if you were not obligated on that Seder night, then there's nothing to discuss 3 weeks later. So what? So 3 weeks later, you have your bat mitzvah, and Mordechai Shapiro's there, and it's amazing, and everybody's into it, and everybody's dancing and singing, and it's unreal. And now you come up the next night, you're like, okay, you know, I'm a bas mitzvah. I want to. I used to be a professional musician before I was a rabbi, and I used to play weddings and bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs. And then at a certain point, I stopped playing bat mitzvahs because they always ended with somebody crying, usually the girl who was becoming bat mitzvah, and I just couldn't handle the emotionality of it. So right, but what happens? So now the person's Gadol b'mitzvos, the Chai b'mitzvos, says Mikrei Kodesh, he rejects this in the end, but the conceptual suggestion just tells you how seriously this is taken, and that is that the whole source is really Seder night. That's approach number one. Approach number two, which is articulated by Rav Chaim in source number 15, is that that's not true. That the original source is not just Seder night. That these two mitzvahs coexist with equal import. That Seder night is one commandment to do the experience of Sifrei Yetzias Mitzrayim. And in addition to that commandment, independent of that mitzvah, is a second mitzvah to go ahead and remember Yetzias Mitzrayim each and every day. What then, says Rav Chaim, do we do with the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, who did not count as one of the 613 mitzvos, the mitzvah to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim every day? What do we do with that Rambam? The Rambam doesn't make any mention of that mitzvah. If you assume, like the first approach, that the daily mitzvah is subordinate to the experience of Seder night, so we understand why he didn't count that mitzvah, because it's not a mitzvah of evident significance. It is secondary and subordinate to the larger mitzvah of Seder night. He only counts Seder night. But if they're both of equal integrity, if they're both of equal import, so why doesn't the Rambam count them both? So for this, Reb Chaim says, and I'll tell you why he doesn't count them both, because the Rambam has a rule when he counts mitzvahs. And the rule is that he doesn't count all mitzvahs. There are many more than 613 mitzvahs. He only counts mitzvahs that fit into a certain criteria. One of those criteria are, it has to be a mitzvah lidoros. It has to be a mitzvah that is commanded in perpetuity. It's always relevant to Jewish history. And so therefore, since the Medrash tells us, in fact, it's in the Haggadah itself, that after Mashiach comes, we're having the most of Mashiach, right? After Mashiach comes, there will not be a mitzvah of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim every day. Why? Because a much greater Geula will come, right? And that's the Medrash has the famous imagery. If a person is saved from a wild cat, and they tell the story to everybody, I was saved from a wild cat, it was an amazing thing. And then something much worse happens to them. They were saved by a lion, so now they only tell the story of the lion. They don't walk around saying, hey, she was saved by a cat. That's not what happens. Now you're a lion survivor, right? People always tell the most dramatic story they have, because the most dramatic story they have is the most descriptive of the intervention of a Kodesh Baruch Hu in their lives. So people always carry that story as their story. So since Mashiach will come, and that will be a much more grandiose salvation and redemption than Yetzias Mitzrayim, we will no longer tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So says Reb Chaim, for that reason, the Rambam did not count the ongoing mitzvah. But he still believes that it's a mitzvah. He doesn't count it, he doesn't enumerate it, but he still believes it's a mitzvah. So according to Reb Chaim, it's really both. Now, if it's really both, if both are mitzvahs, then how is one any different than the other? And how is Pesach night differentiated from the daily mitzvah of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. And for that, beginning with source 18, you have a number of different ways in which the two are differentiated. First of all, Rav Chaim writes in source number 19 that to fulfill the mitzvah of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim during the week, today, on what's today, Wednesday? On Wednesday, all you have to do is say, I remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. Conjure a memory, and you're done. On Pesach night, we have a number of specific requirements of how that story is shaped. Number one, it has to be b'derech she'eila v'tshuva. It has to be through asking questions. And asking questions is very fundamental to Pesach. Since Pesach is an expression of our emunah, of God in our lives, asking questions is integral to formulating and cultivating that dimension of our spiritual being. We don't believe in just going through life with blind faith. We believe in asking, in searching, and Pesach, already from the very beginning, the concept that we learn about a chag 30 days before Shol V'Darshin Nachag, Shloshim Yom, called a chag, the context of that statement is for Pesach. Pesach begins with Bedikas Chametz. We search our homes for chametz, even though we know we're not going to find any. They're always clean. We just put out those 10 ridiculous pieces of bread, right? Yet we search our home. Then we get to Seder night and we ask questions. We ask questions and we don't even have answers to. Some of the questions, so they're there. The Mefarshim say, why do we do this? We do this and the children will ask. And then if the child raises his hand, says, I'm just curious, why are we doing this? We're like, oh, so you'll ask. I'm asking. What's the answer? We don't know. We did it so you would ask. We didn't actually think you'd ask, right? Some of the things we do, it's all to nurture the inquisitiveness of it has to be done b'derech she'eila v'tshuva, because faith is only developed in a sophisticated and nuanced way when you're willing to face your questions. It doesn't mean that you can always get answers to your questions. Not all the questions at the Seder have an answer. But the Seder is a context in which we raise the questions. And if you're not in a context where you feel safe and you feel confident and you feel comfortable raising the questions, then you never achieve a true experience of faith. Elie Wiesel would say, you understand where he's coming from, that the essence of faith is learning to live with questions. Not denying questions. Not saying, no, everything God does is really amazing. And this concentration camp, we just don't see how, but really it's amazing. We just don't get it, but really, somehow on some level, it's amazing. So there are no questions. No, there are questions. Sometimes those questions are not resolvable by a human being. And we learn to live with those questions. But part of the avodah of Pesach night is to raise the questions. Is the derech she'eila v'tshuva. Another is the concept of matzchil b'gnus u'mesayim b'shvach. And that is that we have to tell the story of the servitude, not just the story of the liberation. We are not a people who view our history exclusively through the prism of our victories. We commemorate as much our defeats as we do our victories. Right? If you think about it, there are no American holidays that celebrate or that commemorate defeat. American holidays commemorate, they may honor the death of soldiers in the service of our country, but they don't commemorate defeat. We don't have a holiday in this country, a day a year where we mourn the Vietnam War and everything that was associated with it. We don't do that. We commemorate victory. In Yadus, that's not how it works. You know that when a person wants to convert to Judaism, and they come to us and they say to us, I want to be a Jew. What's the first thing we're supposed to say to them? Nah, you don't want to be a Jew. You don't understand how hard it is. This is Gemara in Yevamos. We're dechufim, mezuyafim. People pursue us. People hate us. Go to the UN. Listen for 10 minutes. You'll hear what it means to be a Jew. Everybody does. Open the New York Times and you'll see. You don't want to be Jewish. We try to convince them out of it. We tell them all the bad things about Judaism, right? If we were writing the Gemara today, that list would be tuition and campfires and shidduchim and all the things that are so hard. We tell them everything. Ask them salvation. What are you doing? This is how you market our religion. You tell everybody all the bad things about being a Jew. What happened to Kiddush Hashem? What happened to promoting the greatness of God in the world? You're telling everybody everything bad? As the Rav says, you have to understand that to become part of the Jewish people means to become part of our history. Every dimension and aspect of our historical experience. Maskil b'gnus u'mesayim b'shvach. It's a package. And we extract as much growth and meaning and purpose from the suffering moments of Jewish history as we do from their redemptions. And therefore, Pesach night is not just a night where we focus on the liberation. It's a night where we focus, where we recognize all of the intense challenge and difficulties and vicissitudes of life that grabbed at our essence and totally persecuted our people. And from there, we recognize the Yad Hashem in emancipating Am Yisrael. Machil b'gnus u'mesayim b'shvach. And finally, we have the notion that kol shelo amru shlosh dvarim, you have to also include on Seder night, matzah, maror, karban pesach. Rabbi Soloveitchik talks about in source number 20, the requirement of praising Hashem. Not just remembering what happened. Every night before you go to sleep, you remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. But on Seder night, you have a special mitzvah of Harem to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Minchas Asher discusses the importance of mentioning Nisim v'Niflos. Rabbi Soloveitchik in source 23 talks about Talmud Torah as an important part of this. So the bottom line is that we have two visions of Seder night. Vision one is the vision of Seder night as the Iker, and the daily experience is subordinate to that. We relive it Seder night, and every other night we review. Vision number two is that they're both primary, they're both important, but they're distinct, they're different. One is the running momentum of Jewish history, and one marks the very unique dimensions of Yetzias Mitzrayim that are core to forming the identity of who we are as a people. The machil b'gnos u'mesayim b'shvach, the ability to question, Talmud Torah, all of these different elements, hallel, recognizing, praising God for the good things that happen in our life. All of these elements are distinguished to Seder night. They're unique to Seder night. I want to suggest a third possibility. And that third possibility of how to understand the interface between Seder night and the rest of the year rests on a deeper understanding of a very critical line in the Rambam that comes from the Gemara, which the Rambam changed a little bit. And that is a line that we're all familiar with. Bechol dar vadar, in source 24. Bechol dar vadar, halacha vav. Chayiv adam leharos es asma. A person is obligated to view themselves, or more specifically, as formulated by the Rambam, to project themselves. Ki'ilu, as if, hu be'atzmo yotza ato mishibud Mitzrayim. As if you left Mitzrayim. Shenemar v'osanu hotzi mishon. That Hashem took osanu, he took us out of Egypt. Literally, us. So how do we understand? We know this part of the Haggadah. Bechol dar vadar chayav vadar. You sing it. I clearly don't sing it, right? The Rosh says that smoke. Ilu hu yatsa b'mitzrayim. Every generation, Hashem takes us out of Mitzrayim. We have to remember Hashem taking us out of Mitzrayim. So I think there are two ways to relate to this concept. You're sitting there Seder night. And this is one of your core obligations on Seder night. Chayiv Adam Liros es Atzmo ki ilu riyatsa b'mitzrayim. This is one of your primary goals. Eating matzah, eating maror, right? Manishtana, a little Dvar Torah. Chayiv Adam Liros es Atzmo ki ilu riyatsa b'mitzrayim. This is your goal. What does that mean? One possibility of what that means is it's a halacha in imagination. Imagination. You are supposed to imagine yourself. You're supposed to fantasize yourself as part of the Exodus of Egypt. You're supposed to imagine what you would have felt like were you there. Chayiv Adam, a person is obligated. Liros es Asmo, to see themselves. Kiilu hu yatsa mimitzrayim. As if I left Mitzrayim. As if I left Mitzrayim. They made a famous movie, The Ten Commandments, right? Very famous movie. And that, you know, and people love to, like, you know, one of the slaves had a watch. You know what I'm saying? Like, all these mistakes in the movie. There's a Kiilu hu yatsa, as if you left Mitzrayim. I don't know if any of you, I grew up in California, this place, Universal Studios. I don't know if they still have this part of it, but they used to take you on the tram through the splitting of the sea, how they made the splitting of the sea in the movie. And he would literally, the guy would tell you, but you know, if you'd been to it a few times, you knew this was coming. And the guy's like, oh no, we're going into the sea, we're going to drown, we're going to die, we're going into this. I probably don't do this anymore because people are very pathetic, but they, you know, they literally, it starts going into the water and all of a sudden the water splits and they're on both sides of you and you're driving through, and there's always some kid who sticks his finger out and gets bitten off by whatever. Right? So there's a concept of Bechokar Bechayv Adam Liros is Atzma. You're envisioning yourself as if you were there. And it all happens in your imagination. That's where it happens. What do you know? Liros is Atzma. That's imaginative. You see yourself. If I told you, see yourself as if you're part of something else, that occurs in your imagination. That's one possibility. The other possibility is the possibility that it's articulated by the Afike Mayim. Afike Mayim is what he calls, is the great work of Rav Moshe Shapiro. And he says the following. And that is, B'chol dor b'dor chayav adam liros es atzmo does not mean imagination. What it means, if you look at the Rambam, is it means you're supposed to experience a part of your Yetzias Mitzrayim right now. Not I'm supposed to remember what happened then. That's the daily mitzvah. That's thinking in your imagination. No. There is a dimension to the Yetzias Mitzrayim experience that manifests itself continuously in our contemporary experience here today in 2019. Bichol dor v'dor, in every generation, chayiv adam liros es atzmo. A person has to look at themselves. Ki'ilu hu yatsa mimitzrayim. As if you have experienced this moment of liberation, but now, in your life now. Where is the Geula in your life right now? What dimensions of your life experience manifest God's role in your life in extracting you from the constraints of challenge and difficulty and allow you the liberation of living a freedom that allows you to make the choices and to live the life you have? Your Yetzias Mitzrayim right now! Where you are right now. Chayiv Adam Liros es Atzmo. And that's what he writes if you look at source number 25. Lo rak sipur bidvarim shenira ela shesipur nimsa lebanim. The sipur, the story is given to us. Biderech shayitzias mitzrayim shayeches eleinu achshav. This yitzias mitzrayim is shayach to us right now. Vahayinu shegupa de utu shal hayitzia nimsa lebanim. In a manner, and that's why our expression of Hallel is not just related to what happened then, it's related to what's happening right now. So the mitzvah of Seder night is not the mitzvah of memory of the past. The mitzvah of Seder night is about how the past informs, inspires, and impacts now and the future. That's what Seder night is. Seder night is you eat the maror, you affirm, and you acknowledge, and you validate there's avdus in our life. There's merirus in our life. There's challenge in our life. It's not simple. It's not easy. It's complex. It's sometimes overwhelming. It's painful. There's a lot of avdus Mitzrayim in our life. Mitzrayim comes from the word meitzar, narrow, we're trapped. But there's also a lot of geula in our life. There's also a lot of opportunity. There's also a lot of blessing. There's also a lot of redemption. There's also a lot of elements to our life that allow us the opportunity to become the people we want to become. And that's Seder night. That's been Seder night from the first Seder night all through Jewish history. That was Seder night during the pogroms. That was Seder night in Auschwitz and the Holocaust. That was Seder night in the Spanish Inquisition. Seder night is sitting around the table and recognizing the Jewish history has avdus and merirus. The Jewish history has lights of hope in a future and of redemption. And things can move forward and things can happen. It's a very famous story told of the last Seder in the Warsaw Ghetto. And the story goes that the little boy was sitting with his father and there was a lot of gunshots going on outside. And the father says, it was Seder night, and the father says to the boy, Moshe, I want you to say the Manishtana. So the boy gets up and he says the Manishtana, and then he turns to his father and he says, Tati, he says, Father, tell me, will I be here next year to sing the Manishtana for you next year? Will we both be here next year? The father looks at the boy and the father says to the boy, I'll tell you, Moshe, I don't know if I'm going to be here next year or if you're going to be here next year to sing the Manishtana. But I'll tell you what I do know. I'm 100% certain that somewhere there will be a Maishma who is singing the Manishtana to his grandfather. Seder night is about seeing hope even in the most challenging of circumstances. Seder night is about recognizing our capacity for a future, even when things are so challenging and so difficult. Chayev Adam Liros es Atzmo. That's our avoda for Seder night. Our avoda for Seder night is not just to remember the history. That's the rest of the year, separate mitzvah. Our avoda for Seder night is for a few moments to close our eyes and to own all of the garbage and all of the difficulty and all of the pain and all of the challenge, but to not be defined by it. To recognize that Geula means that there are windows of light and hope and future and blessing and capacity, and to see all of that and to allow ourselves, it's an amazing thing, we end the Seder, we open the door, and the tefillah we say is all about the enemies of the Jewish people trying to destroy us. That's what Shvoch Hamascha El Agoyim Asher Lo Yida'ucha. But who's supposed to walk through that door? Why do we open that door? We open that door because through that door is supposed to come Eliyahu HaNavi. Because we recognize that even though there's darkness outside, and even though there's challenge outside, there is a ray of Geulah that punctures through, that pierces that darkness, and creates an array of light. And that is Chayev Adam Liros Es Atzmo, to sit Seder night and look around the table and appreciate the gifts that we have. And for some of us, it will be harder than others to identify them. Some of us are blessed where the maror is the only bitterness we feel of the Seder. Some of us don't need maror to feel bitterness at the Seder. We can feel bitterness without maror. We have enough baggage going on in our life. Everybody has a different life experience. And some of us have a lot of bracha in our life, and we don't appreciate it. We don't recognize it. Seder night's about halel. It's about identifying it, being specific about it, recognizing it, and embracing it. And for some of us, it's a little harder to find the bracha. It's a little harder. Life is really, really, really challenging, really difficult. But if we look hard and we dig deep and we ask the questions and we follow Jewish history and we look around, we can try to discover, we can uncover, we can reveal the aura, the light that is Seder night. And that ultimately is our avodah for Pesach. I wish all of you a Chag Kosher B'Sameach.